Hi, hello, and welcome to What's Happening New Haven. I'm Bonnie Likes. I'm here with co-producer engineer Sean Bigler, and together we cast a net to the goings on in and around the greater New Haven area. We take our magic magnifying glass to everything high to low brow, in between, all across the general scene. So thank you for joining us here at listener-supported WPKN 89.5 FM. And we're streaming from Bridgeport, Connecticut. We're here every first Monday to take a look at the many things that are percolating. Events, exhibits, quartets, quintets, alternative music, poetry, film. We do our best to cover it all. And believe me, we're never at a loss for suggestions to share your way. There are also opportunities for you to shake your booty in a creative way, be it open mics, arts and crafts, or maybe express your opinions in a salon atmosphere, or possibly a dance or two. So also on this program, we especially like to take this time to spotlight exceptionally creative people. And today, before we get into the calendar for February, we're happy to share a conversation with two sisters you may have heard of. They are Lily and Madeline. They write and perform music, and we'll answer a few questions about what they do, how they began, and what they're up to now. So to kick off the month, let me share a little what I know about these sisters, who are set to perform at Cafe 9 on Main Street in New Haven, Monday, February 18th at 8 p.m. So Lily and Madeline are indeed a folk-pop duo from Indiana, and to date they've released three full-length albums. Back in 2013, Lily and Madeline title came out, and then next, Fumes, in 2014, both on the Asthmatic Kitty label, and then Keep It Together in 2016 on New West Records. And soon to come in February, they have a brand new release coming out, Canterbury Girls, also on New West Records for 2019. Now, the New York Times reviewed Lily and Madeline, saying, quote, "The things that flags them as extraordinary is their sibling vocal blend, deep and seamless and relaxed," end quote. In fact, the two render such notably stunning harmonies, fellow Indianian John Mellencamp asked to have them sing backup for him in his 2013 theater production written with Stephen King. Yes, horror novelist Stephen King. The name of that production was The Ghost Brothers of Darkland County. Now, they did get their start performing on YouTube, and they generated quite a lot of traffic and also made some notable career connections there. So we'll be talking to them about all that as well. And if you're just tuning in, this is What's Happening New Haven, where we launch a cultural safari and discover the best of what's occurring in the greater New Haven area. So after we have a chat, we'll be taking a look at the very robust calendar for February. Again, Lily and Madeline are set to perform at Cafe 9 in New Haven on Monday, February 18 at 8 p.m. So you'll be able to catch them there. And here's a sample of their sound with the title cut, Self-Care. Actually, it's not this title cut. It's just Self-Care off the new album, Canterbury Girls. And here they are.
Like there's something I can do.
That's Lily and Madeline with the cut Self-Care from their upcoming release, Canterbury Girls. And this is What's Happening New Haven. I'm Bonnie Likes, here every first Monday at noon. And we have a chat with Lily and Madeline, who have their upcoming show date, February 18, at Cafe 9 at 8 p.m. So let's fire up our talk with the sisters and see what they're up to. Welcome, Lily and Madeline. Thanks for joining us on What's Happening New Haven.
Thanks for having us.
So first, let's identify your voices separately. Who is Lily and who is Madeline?
This is Lily speaking. I am currently 21 years old and 2 years younger than Madeline.
Yes, and this is Madeline. I'm 24.
Great. Yes, you guys do. There is a little difference in your vocal tones. So to get things started, I'd love to hear your personal perspectives beyond the folk and pop label. Does that term describe your music aptly, or is it a little confining maybe to your creative process?
I always feel that like defining your own music is like one of the hardest things to do, because you don't think, like, we don't set out to make any sort of genre, you know, but I think it was definitely folk in the past and now it's way more pop. So I guess you could say both.
Yes. And who knows, you could even branch out beyond that.
Absolutely, sure.
So exactly, how did you both come to find inspiration and encouragement in your earlier days to pursue music? Is the rest of your family musical?
Sure. Our mom is pretty musical. She sings very beautifully, and she plays guitar and piano, and she's always been playing music around the house. Our dad also has a lovely singing voice, and our brother just got into music in his adolescence. But I would say that this is something new for our family. It's kind of random that we got into music, because both of our parents work in law. And I would say that it wasn't until we met our mentors that we really dove into our musical career.
Wow. So, yes. So your parents sound really well-rounded, particularly your mother.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. And you both got started using YouTube, and you picked up quite a following when you initially started to post your work. Did you have a lot of ambition and feel strongly that you generate traffic? Or did you begin with more detached expectations?
I don't think we really had any expectations. It was kind of just like, we can do this, so we will. Like, we can post it, so why not, you know?
Yeah.
But no, we didn't have any expectations.
It must have been, were you like, did you have a lot of trepidation when you first did it? Like, oh, we're going to put this up there and it feels weird?
Honestly, no. I just kind of thought, you know, we would do it so that our mom could listen back to our covers, and just so other, like, our friends could listen. So I wasn't really nervous about it. I didn't really think it would go anywhere.
Yeah, right. And that's often how real success can happen, when people aren't even, it's not even, you know, the ultimate brass ring of attention people are looking for, and they're the ones that really get it and perhaps even sometimes deserve it more. So who plays keyboards and who plays guitar? Do you switch back and forth?
This is Madeline speaking, and I play keyboards. Lily plays keys and guitar.
Nice. And do you have to really go through a process of like selecting who's going to play what, or is it like, in other words, do you ever have any debate on, hey, no, I should play guitar, or, you know, keyboards on that? Is that ever an issue?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. We're like arranging the album, like the live versions of the album right now. We're doing rehearsal later today for tour. And yeah, we're kind of going back and forth, like trying to maximize and make it sound to the fullest that it can.
Do you use the same players for other instrumentation on your albums, or like a core group that you enjoy using?
We have had a core group in the past, and unfortunately, well, you know what? No, let me take that back. Not unfortunately. Fortunately, we've gotten to kind of change things up a little bit and expand in new ways and add new players to the band, which has been a fun challenge. And so this time around, when we're in New Haven, we'll be with a drummer and with a guitarist and cellist. So we're really excited to have our full band with us.
Yeah. Is the cellist a personal friend of yours who plays at Yale? Did you mention her before?
Yeah. She played at our first ever show that we ever did like 5 years ago or something.
Oh, that's amazing.
And she did get her cello performance degree at Yale, so she is very, very talented.
That's great. And it's nice to play, you know, with the same people, because you can really bond and just create something even more magical when you all get together, I'm sure.
Yeah, Absolutely. It's a very intimate process, so it's good to have like close friends in the band.
And you probably are very aware when the other really appreciates or maybe doesn't want to do a particular idea or direction. I'm sure that is very evident between the two of you since you're sisters.
Yeah, we definitely take turns on, you know, what we're writing, and I feel like we kind of speak to each other through our songwriting.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great. Let's see. It says in your history, you know, that you used to work with other songwriters, and these days you're doing your own songwriting, but how do you execute your ideas? Does one of you handle lyrics and the other melody, or do you collaborate pretty evenly on both?
I would say that we definitely collaborate evenly on both, and it's, a lot of people ask us which comes first, the lyrics or the melody, and I would say that they come at the same time. For me, I kind of, maybe melody comes first a little bit more, but then lyrics soon follow because I feel like it's difficult to write one before the other.
Do you almost feel as though creative ideas are kind of like... to use a technical word, downloaded into you, like they're coming from somewhere else or just directly from your experience?
I mean, I think that we definitely write about our own experiences, but sometimes writing a song, you find yourself singing about or writing about something that you didn't even know you were thinking about, you know?
Yes, right. And I wanted to ask you about your rehearsal process. Do you guys rehearse spontaneously since you're both sisters and you both know your each other's schedules pretty well, or do you have a strict schedule that you adhere to?
Well, when we play as a duo, Madge and I like barely have to rehearse, to be honest, because, you know, we kind of rehearse through writing the songs in the first place. So right now we're doing full band rehearsals and we're like, you know, going to this crazy rehearsal space in Brooklyn, and we're working for about 4 hours today doing, you know, full band and then prepping for a session that we're doing later this week.
I imagine that sometimes maybe the players that you're working with want to perhaps contribute, or are they just like, no, we're not going to do that?
Like contribute what, to the songwriting?
Yes, and to the production and things like that.
Oh, well, with the live performances, we kind of just let them do whatever they want. You know, we give them the record so they can listen to it and, you know, see how we made it sound on the record. But they kind of just get free reign because it's never going to sound exactly like the record. So as long as they do something that they feel is like adding, they can pretty much do whatever they want.
That's great. That's generous. And it makes for perhaps even better music to give them that freedom.
Like, different.
Yeah. So in terms of vocalists that you both love to listen to, were there singers when you were growing up who really inspired the both of you?
Sure. I mean, I love female singers for the most part. I would say Sheryl Crow is someone that I still listen to this day, and she's somebody that we grew up on. Our mom used to play her all the time. I sing her at karaoke all the time.
That's great. That's great. And that was Madeline, right?
Yeah, that was Madeline.
And Lily, how about you?
I don't know. I mean, I love female singers. I love Regina Spektor and all that stuff. But I think that when I was like, 13, 14, like formative years, I was really into like The Killers and like Arcade Fire and like, you know.
These more like rock bands.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically pop, but it's like pop rock or whatever, indie rock.
Yeah, so not necessarily individual singers, but just like music in general. It was just you followed your joy there. So when you guys were younger, did you perform at local events or at parties or things like that? Perhaps your mom encouraged you to do that or not? Was it just like a home thing and you just eventually started posting on YouTube through that? Did you have performance experience?
It was mostly a home thing. I performed, this is Madeline speaking, yeah. I performed in like some musicals and whatnot, like in high school and in middle school, because I am very dramatic and I love to be on stage. But for the most part, we just kind of sang at home. I would say that maybe we would sing at church. That was like the only kind of public place where we would sing, because we both grew up Catholic, so we would go to church all the time through school and just sing all the church songs, which is something that I think probably shaped my musical abilities growing up.
Yeah, singing in a choir, it requires a lot of focus. Did you do that, choir singing?
Yeah, I love choir singing.
Well, there you go.
I didn't really do any of that. I didn't do plays or choir or anything.
Yeah, now the harmonies and your sense of collaboration, that makes a lot of sense. It's almost as though you were perhaps that kind of prepared the way for that. So in general, your muse comes from your internal world, but do you see yourselves branching into other topics, you know, such as politics or maybe even controversial social issues? Have you decided to stay away from that stuff intentionally?
I feel like it's kind of impossible to not write about issues that affect you. I think that feminism is something that Lily and I really find very important in our lives, and especially in the music industry, where, you know, there can be some, like, unfortunate behavior from some people. So we're not afraid to talk about these issues, especially I think it's important that we do because we have a responsibility, because we have a platform, and especially a lot of young women followers. So I think it's important to show solidarity for those people. So I'm not afraid to talk about social issues, and I imagine that maybe we will more in the future.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty misinformed right now. I think I need to, like, re-engage with politics. We don't have a TV, and I don't, like, listen to the radio, you know, because I don't drive or anything. So I feel like I just don't know what's going on right now.
That, yeah, and it takes a lot of time, doesn't it, to really...
So much.
Yeah, it's complicated. do you ever get any flack for... It sounds like you're basically alluding to feminist issues. Do you ever get any flack or feedback that question your songwriting choices along that area, you know, online? Do people ever give you a hard time?
For sure. I mean, white men definitely don't like it when you talk about feminism or Black Lives Matter. So, yeah, absolutely.
Ah. Do you both have a particular philosophy or even metaphysical practice that drives your inspirations, or is it really just kind of the grace of self-curiosity that inspires your muse?
Well, we grew up in the Catholic Church, like I said, but since graduating from high school, I would say that we kind of distanced ourselves from that and tried to explore other, like, spiritual areas. I would say that music is almost my spiritual practice. It's very meditative, and it brings me a lot of joy, and I see that music connects people all over the world. So it's a very, very powerful tool. I would say that that I meditate through my music.
Yes, and also maybe when you're playing with, you know, your friends and this band that you've developed, you probably kind of sense that connective field that musicians can experience.
You can just feel the energy.
Yeah, it's really special. It's a gift, absolutely. So when you do release really personal lyrics, do you find a kind of catharsis for yourself after you put it out in the world? Or do you sometimes wish you hadn't shared maybe one particular notion with your fan base? Have you ever had that experience, or it's just like, no, I'm fine with it, I feel supported, no problem?
No, I mean, like, especially because we started out when I was, like, 14 or 15, you know, imagine, you know, reading a story or an essay that you wrote when you were, like, 14 or 15. It's probably terrible now at your age, you know, but unfortunately that stuff is published. People listen to it all the time. So, I mean, you know, I'm not complaining, but, yeah, it's definitely kind of a struggle for me, at least, because I've, like, grown up publishing my feelings.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Really weird, yeah.
But at the same time, I would feel like we do get so much support from people about these songs that we write that are so, so personal. I mean, when we were recording Canterbury Girls in the studio, I was crying during the recording process, just because, well, not during the entire recording process, but during some
right.
of it. Because I just couldn't believe that there were people who wanted to collaborate with us on such a personal level. It just is so powerful.
Yeah, and not too long ago, you did make the decision to branch out and go to Nashville and work with new producers Daniel Tashian and Ian Fitchick. Now, it sounds like working with this new pair really affected your creative process to the positive. Do you guys want to unpack that a little for us and tell us about how that transition was?
It was, I mean, we were really nervous, to be honest, because not because they're not, like, you know, talented and capable and amazing, but because, you know, it was so different from the way we had done it in the past. In the past, we had, like, you know, a few weeks here and there, kind of taking our time making the album in Bloomington, Indiana with, you know, our old crew. And this was like 10 days whirlwind making the whole thing in Nashville with two guys that we had met before and written some songs with, but we just, you know, had never worked with like that. So it was definitely like a little bit overwhelming to begin with, but they were so laid back and so easy, and time never felt like an issue, even though it kind of was, you know, because we did it so fast. But yeah, they were so wonderful. And we had also, we prepared beforehand, we had a lot of reference tracks, like for each song on the album, we had like, you know, 2 to 4 songs from other artists that we were like, oh, I want the production to sound like this. Maybe the drums could go in this direction. So being prepared also helped.
Yeah, you know, I would think just the way that you both sing together is very relaxing for anyone who's in the studio with you. It's just like you're going to provide just like the right atmosphere just with the music as vehicle itself. So back in 2012, there was another Indianian by the name of John Mellencamp who contacted you to work on his production. What was the name of his production, and what was it like getting involved with his vision there? Tell us all about that.
That was an incredible experience. Yeah, we had just started out making music. We had barely any experience when he asked us if we would sing some vocals for a track for this musical that he was writing with T-Bone Burnett and Stephen King. And the musical was called Ghost Brothers of Darkwing County. And the track that we were singing was called Truth. And so we went to the studio down in southern Indiana, and we met him, and we sang the song a few times. And you can hear it on Spotify and whatnot if you care to listen. Yeah. It was an incredible experience, and he was really generous and kind and gave a lot of direction. And then we ended up touring with him a couple summers ago. And that was also an incredible experience. It was a huge production, and we sang backup vocals for him every night for about 6 weeks.
And he wrote all the music for this, correct?
Yes, yeah, he is so talented.
What was Stephen King's contribution? There must have been an element of horror running through the plotline.
Yeah, it's like a, I don't know, Madeline got to see it, the live performance.
I did. I would say it's like a thriller, horror, family drama.
Yeah, because it's about two brothers that are sent to a cabin, and then there's two ghosts that were brothers too that sort of haunt them.
Yeah, it's very creepy.
Wow, that is so creative. And then apparently Mellencamp wanted to just weave all the different styles of American music, but it ended up that it was basically more your genre and other genres that were close.
Yeah, for sure. So that's why I think it worked so well that we got to sing on the project, and it was something that we did not expect to do, but it was a really fun experience.
Great, and you were treated well on tour, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. Really well.
Oh, very good. Excellent. So your next album is due for release next month. Is that right? And tell us about the title Canterbury Girls. Was there something about living, now that's a park near you in Indiana. Was there something about, you know, the title rings really well. It's a great title, but is there something about living in that area that you wanted people to understand to sort of introduce an element to your identity?
Yeah, so Canterbury Park in Indianapolis is a park that we used to live by growing up. Actually, only for about 9 months when we were between houses when I was in, like, seventh grade. And the park itself is kind of not that much to look at. It's just, like, a little playground.
Yeah, right, right.
But I used to hang out there with my friends and just, like, walk around and talk about what I, you know, what we all wanted to be when we grew up and you know, what kind of women we wanted to be. And that was like right at the age where I could see that things were starting to change, you know, for me and for my peers, but I didn't quite know of the challenges and the limitations that I would be facing. So it just like is a place where I got to think about my potential. So I wanted to name, it kind of came to me nowhere, like out of nowhere when we were writing Canterbury Girls, the song. It's just like one little line in that song, but once I said it, I was like, wow, like this really feels like I could make this the name of the project.
And so
there's a lot in there.
And that's Madeline, right, speaking?
Oh, that's Lily.
Oh, that's Lily. Madeline, did you want to add to that? And yeah, I'm curious about how you both felt or realized later about these limitations. Are you alluding to just being female and getting into the music business?
Yeah, you know, just like being female in the music business, you know, like all of the taxes and the rent money and, you know, all the financial things that you don't think about when you're a kid and, like,
yeah, friends leaving and friends doing different things and, you know, parents being weird and our little brother growing up, just like all that weird stuff that happens in life that you don't really see coming. You know, like when I was 14, thinking about my potential, it was just like all about me, you know, but yeah. Like, I didn't really like that.
Yes. Yes. And now you're both living in Brooklyn. Is that correct?
Yeah, we both live together in Brooklyn.
How is adjusting to New York life been? Has it been a little shocking at times?
Oh, for sure. It's very different from Indianapolis, which is our home. So, yeah, it's a little bit shocking, but it is also really fun. Every day is a new adventure. Honestly, it's crazy. Our neighborhood is very loud and very creative. So that's really cool to be surrounded by, like, lots of art and stuff like that.
Yeah, are you both checking out a lot of other shows? Do you have some favorites recently that you've seen other musicians playing out and about?
Yeah, earlier this year, or I guess last year, I would say, because it's January, what am I saying? Last year, I got to see Crystal Warren at Rough Trade, which is a really cool record store and venue, and she is also in a band called June Moon, and we first were introduced to her at South by Southwest in 2016, and she is the most incredible vocalist. She's so soulful, so I got to see her show, and it was so incredible, I cried.
Fantastic. Maybe you could collaborate someday in the future. You never know.
Oh, so, gosh, you never know. That'd be amazing.
Right. So you have an extensive tour coming up, which is one reason why What's Happening New Haven wanted to connect with you guys. And that, of course, includes Cafe 9 in New Haven, beginning on February 18th, Monday. So how do you both like the touring life? Is this something that you look forward to and you flourish doing?
Yeah, I'm so excited to get back on the road. It's like a routine and a schedule that just makes sense. You know, you wake up in a new city, you get a cup of coffee at a local cafe, you explore a little bit, and then you play a show to like a bunch of wonderful people. So it just feels really good to be on the road. I'm so excited to get back out there. I'm excited to start our tour at Cafe 9. It's really cool that we're going to be back in New Haven. The last time we were there was
like 2013, 14. It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
But we didn't play. We just visited.
Yeah. So we're excited to be back.
That's great. And I bet on the road you probably have different things that you do to induce having good energy and good rest. You know, people develop these rituals so that they can loop back the next day and have enough energy to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exercise is a big thing. You know, the question I have on tour always is like, should I sleep a little bit longer or should I get up and work out? And I always choose sleep, and I always wish that I chose workout.
Right. Yeah, but that's great. It's good to know yourself and what you need. So wrapping things up, just a couple of more notions here. Do you either of you have any plans to pursue traditional academics in the future, or is that just not really necessary to think about right now?
Well, right now, I would say that's really not on my mind. However, I would love to go back to school. I just don't know what I would want to study, so I don't want to waste my time and energy and money studying something that I don't really, like, have a path. You know what I mean? So I would say, like, law school would be really fun. Our dad went to law school. Both of our parents work in law, so it's something that I find really fascinating. But that requires a lot of time and energy, so I don't really know right now.
And we wish you a wonderful show at Cafe 9, Monday, February 18th, 8 p.m. And, hey, thanks for coming out this way. And travel safe. And we are very appreciative that you joined us today on What's Happening New Haven. And thanks for creating Lily and Madeline.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day. You're beautiful life. That's Lily and Madeline with a cut, Self-Care, off their 2019 release, Canterbury Girls. And they are set to perform at Cafe 9 on February 18 at 8 p.m. on Main Street in New Haven. And if you're just joining us, my name is Bonnie Likes with engineer Sean Bigler. He's with me working behind the scenes to help bring you this program. We are What's Happening New Haven here every first Monday at noon. And now let's hop into the February calendar. In fact, let's jump into this very day, February 4th, tonight at 6 p.m. We have the Freedom to Love opening reception at the New Haven Pride Center. Now, this is a very special exhibit, and keep in mind, as I read you the description, this concept is geared for everyone, not just the LGBT community. You are invited to the opening reception of the first exhibit in the 2019-20 series, Freedom to Love. This is a multi-artist showcase of visual works by LGBTQ artists depicting the vast diversity of forms and mediums that love takes. Now, this exhibit is to remind us all that love is beautiful. There will be light hors d'oeuvres and wine served, and Freedom to Love will be on display from February 4th through the 28th of the month in this year of 2019, and it's a very special way to celebrate the month of romance. We've got Valentine's Day coming up, so it might be a really nice thing to do again. It's at the New Haven Pride Center, 84 Orange Street in New Haven. February 5, Tuesday at 7 p.m., Local Lit at Lotta is happening, where New Haven area authors read their work and the audience talks back. For more info about attending or submitting to this bi-monthly literary reading series, you can visit www.locallitatlotta.com. And the readings are held at The Range at Lotta Studios, 911 Wally Avenue in New Haven. Again, that date is February 5th, Tuesday at 7 p.m. On February 7th, Thursday, going down at 6 p.m., something else is happening at the New Haven Pride Center. We have an author talk with Adafe Okoporo, and this will be a conversation and book signing with the LGBTQ Nigerian refugee, and he's the executive director of RDJ, Refugee Shelter. And he is the author, his name again, Adafe Okoporo, of the memoir titled Bed 26, A Memoir of an African Man's Asylum. The talk will begin at 7:30 p.m. and light hors d'oeuvres will be served. And again, this is also going down at the New Haven Pride Center on February 7, Thursday, 6 p.m. Next up, we have something at the Matatuck Museum, Thursday, 6 p.m. on February 7. You can grab a glass and hop on over to the 6th annual Febtoberfest. Celebrate with local vendors and have a barrel of laughs as everybody drowns their midwinter blues together. Of course, you must be 21 or older. And there will be no stopping Febtoberfest because they are down with a snow date of 2/21. But if the coast is clear, you can look forward to attending this, again, February 7 at 6 p.m. at the Matatuck Museum. And the museum is at 144 West Main Street in Waterbury. Moving on, also on February 7, Thursday at 7 p.m., there is an invitation to all poets, musicians, and comedians and other performers to attend New Haven's weekly open mic at Lyric Hall. You can come hang out at the front room bar, have a drink, and see some of New Haven's talent and maybe put your own on display. Lyric Hall is located at 827 Wally Avenue in New Haven. Again, the date is ongoing Thursdays, actually, the first one being this month, February 7th. Thursday, 7 p.m. February 9, we have a very interesting show going down Saturday, 5 p.m. It's called Strata Various, and it's an artist reception. This is occurring at the River Street Gallery at Fairhaven Furniture, and this exhibit is featuring work by Joy Bush and Don Wonderly, Strata Various Challenges, Our Notions of the Contemporary Landscape. In Joy Bush's photographs, her daily walks become encounters in an outdoor museum through which she reimagines the familiar. shrubbery takes on abstracted shapes that require us to suspend our disbelief, and patches in sidewalks and roadways are revealed as collections of runes without translations. Again, the title of the exhibit is Stradivarius at the River Street Gallery on Blatchy Avenue in New Haven. And, of course, that was February 9, Saturday at 5 p.m., if you'd like to attend the reception. Also, later in the eve on February 9, Saturday, 7:30 p.m., you can come hear the Mile 12 Bluegrass Band. They are performing at Best Video, 1842 Whitney Avenue in Hamden. And they have very authentic songwriting, well-crafted arrangements with an instrumental groove that have thrilled audiences around the world. In fact, in 2017, they won the International Bluegrass Music Association's prestigious Momentum Award and earned an IBMA nomination for Emerging Artist of the Year and Instrumental Recorded Performance of the Year. Yes, you can catch their show February 9, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at Best Video. Again, the address, 1842 Whitney in Hamden. February 9 in the morning, so we're kind of doing a little reverse jump, Saturday at 10 a.m., January through March, there will be a kid-friendly stained glass-like community creation. You can channel your inner watercolor enthusiast and find expression through stained glass projects inspired by the work of Fred Staloff. This is happening at the Matatuck Museum. That address is 144 West Main in Waterbury. February 10th on Sunday in the morning at 11 a.m., you can also do another project. Come learn silkscreen basics at the Makehaven Studio at 770 Chapel Street, lower level in New Haven. And what this course will do is cover the basics of silk screening, choosing images, creating the stencil, printing on paper and fabric, and participants will create and print a reusable 8x10-inch screen with your own design that you can use again and again. So this class is not only sounding very creative, but maybe it can fuel your business or upcoming function or event. So that is Silkscreen Basics, happening February 10th, Sunday at 11 in the morning at the Makehaven Studio in New Haven. So on that same day in the afternoon at 4 p.m. Sunday, February 10, you're invited to the champagne reception for Gallery Uno's inaugural exhibit of selected works of Black Mountain artists. John Urbain and Elaine Schmidt Urbain will be showing their abstract collages of pen and ink drawings. Gallery Uno is located at 1 Warren Street in Milford, and that date is February 10, Sunday, 4 p.m. Also later that same day at 7 p.m., February 10, Sunday, you can check out the sounds of Chinobe. And this is a Ugandan singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist. His work has been described as some of the most exquisite music coming out of Africa today. So he is a musician, songwriter, and philanthropist. This is part of the East Rock Concert Series, which happens at 285 Nicole Street at the M Activity Cafe Bar in New Haven. That's February 11, Monday at 7 p.m. And if you're feeling adventurous, you can also check out A Little Wild, the opening day for an exhibit of artwork going down at the Atticus Bookstore Cafe. And apparently this is said to tickle your funny bone and add color to your winter days. Elizabeth Ann McNally is an artist and printmaker whose work explores the fun-loving nature of animals in her narrative art. And she takes a look and discovers vibrant color and relationships with her abstracts. She will be in view and for sale at the Atticus Bookstore Cafe, 1082 Chapel Street, New Haven. Again, the date is February 11, Monday at 7 p.m. On February 9th, we have a show going on there with the band Upstate. Now, this band first emerged from New York's Hudson Valley in 2015 with their critically acclaimed debut. It was titled A Remedy. The Poughkeepsie Journal raved that the group needs nothing more than their voices to channel rhythm and stroke your emotions, while Chronogram magazine hailed their infectiously sunny organic stew. The Alternative called them toe-tapping, contagious, and fun. Doesn't sound like it gets much better than that. The album earned upstate festival performances from Mountain Jam to Fresh Grass, as well as a slew of national headline dates and support slots with everyone from the Felice Brothers and Marco Benevento and Corey Henry. So here is a snip of their sound. This is the band Upstate.
I've been trying to forget you, but I just can't shake it down.
A quick sample of the group Upstate, due to play at the Space Ballroom at 295 Treadwell in Hamden on Saturday night, February 9th. Looking at our next date here, we've got February 11, Monday at 5 p.m., a cabaret workshop with Anne Tuffelmeyer. This is happening Monday at 5 p.m., and this is a masterclass, a fun exploration of singing and acting at the same time. Now, cabaret is a medium that combines the performer's musicality and interpretive imagination in an intimate performance setting, so you can really experiment with your individuality in making music like this. Students in this class will explore different approaches to understanding what motivates a song and rehearsing as if they were going to perform publicly. Again, that is February 11, Monday at 5 p.m., and you can contact the Long Wharf Theater, which is located at 222 Sargent Drive in New Haven. Next up, on February 13, Wednesday, in the afternoon at 2, this is the Franklin Fever Series Part 1 film. This winter, the Matatuck Museum will host a three-part series that dives deep into historic mysteries with the tale of Sir John Franklin. The first of three-part Franklin series will be a viewing of John Walker's Passage. So this is February 13. And it's happening again in the afternoon on Wednesday at 2 p.m. And also February 13, we're listening right now to Roberto Preceda. He is playing Mendelssohn, Canto di Primavera, Opus 62, number 6. And he is Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m., February 13, at the Morse Recital Hall in Sprague Memorial Hall. This is part of the Horowitz Piano Series, a performance guest artist. Again, his name is Roberto Preceda, whose gramophone has said, quote, is a fiery and fluent technique. That's Gramophone magazine. His performance will include various works by Mendelssohn, Mozart, and Schubert. Again, the Sprague Memorial Hall, with Morse Recital Hall at 470 College Street in New Haven. Next up, we have a complete U-turn, which we love to do on What's Happening New Haven. We're going back to the Space Ballroom. This is going to be some post-punk with a band that's been around a long time. This is Gang of Four. They'll be performing Wednesday, February 20th. The show starts at 8. You know, if you don't know very much about Gang of Four, they have been around a long time. They were formed in the punk rock fallout culture of the late 70s. They redesigned rock in the punk aftermath, taking the incendiary energy of the form and crisscrossing it with some funk, stripping away the baggage of rock excess and creating a new stripped-down music that was full of energy, heavy grooves, shrapnel guitars, and politically charged lyrics. matching the fervor of the times. In short, they did indeed come up with post-punk. Here is some Gang of Four, if you're not already familiar.
You work hard, you pay your dues, play by the rules, but still you lose. Stick or twist, I hold my nerve. Nobody ever gets what they deserve.
That's Gang of Four. Again, they will be at the Space Ballroom at 295 Treadwell in Hamden. The show date is Wednesday, February 20th. Doors open at 7 and show at 8 p.m.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
Oh, well-known production that barely needs more introduction than that bright, shiny song. Spamalot is happening February 21st, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at the Schubert Theater, 247 College Street in New Haven. Next up, we have February 22nd, the very next day, Friday at 4 p.m., we have Ineffable Manifestations at the Miller Hall Inaugural Art Exhibition. This is the opening reception and gallery talk for Ineffable Manifestations, and it will run through June 18th. They are open Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 p.m., excluding holidays, so you can check that out as the year progresses. Also, February 22nd, Friday at 7:30, we have the Philharmonia in Sprague, Morse Recital Hall in Sprague Memorial Hall. This is the Yale Philharmonia, and they perform their annual concert in the intimate Morse Recital Hall. And what they'll be doing is well said in this overview of the orchestra, spoken by principal conductor Peter Onjin.
So the Philharmonia is an orchestra made up of pretty much all of the instrumental students. Getting a position in a very fine orchestra somewhere in the world is a great way to spend your musical life. What we do is we find various ways of rehearsing in various different contexts so that we prepare the students to really know what it is to play in an orchestra at the highest possible level. What I particularly focus on is orchestra as the finest collaboration, like playing chamber music, but in fact there's 90 or 100 of you and we're all listening to each other and focusing and watching and leading and following in such a way that we can make really wonderful, flexible music.
It's composed solely of graduate students, and so there's a level of intensity that is always present in every practice room, in every rehearsal.
It definitely strives to represent the way a professional group would operate. The level of achievement that is demanded of me in orchestra has just forced me to go deeper into how I learn music and focus harder on being prepared for everything that I'm doing.
One, two, and...
We're very, very, very lucky to have Peter Ungen. To have a musician of his stature leading the Yale Philharmonia is, I think, a really great asset to the School of Music and really great for the students. He's been affiliated with Yale for almost 40 years, first as a member of the Tokyo String Quartet and then a member of the faculty for a number of years. He's the music director of the Toronto Symphony, as well as the Royal Scottish Orchestra.
Maestro Ungen is an incredible musician. He really knows how to communicate. He's also just a really happy, funny guy.
At the Philharmonia, we have several conductors a year. Each one of them has maybe a different tradition. They'll be of different generations. So they get exposed to the profession in that way. And they figure out different ways of rehearsing as well, because everyone has a different approach to that. And everyone demands something slightly different of an orchestra. So this gives them a very broad experience.
You know, I think one of the strengths of the Philharmonia is the quality and stature of the guest conductors. In past years, we've had readings with Gergiev, Yulong, and concerts with Conlin, just to name a few.
My colleagues throughout Yale School of Music are just wonderful human beings and also awe-inspiring performers.
If you'd like to hear and feel the hard work of these students, again, the performance is on February 22nd, Friday, 7:30 p.m., the Morse Recital Hall in Sprague Memorial Hall. Moving on, getting towards the end of our February calendar, Sunday, 10 a.m., back at the Matatuck Museum in Waterbury. You can set up your drawing board in the galleries at the Matatuck for this sketching opportunity to draw female model Shauna Lee. Participants should bring their own supplies. Permissible art materials are limited to graphite, colored pencils, erasers, sketch pads, and drawing boards. No easels. The stools will be provided, and the instructor will be artist Marc Chabot. This studio class is in conjunction with Nathalie Van Vleck, true to her art, life, and land on view through February 24th at the Matatuck Museum again in Waterbury. And then we've got more music for you, part of the East Rock Concert Series at M Activity Cafe Bar in New Haven. The Kennedys will be performing February 24th, Sunday at 6:30. Now, in their 23rd year as recording artists, the Kennedys are busier than ever, continually touring the U.S. and U.K. They're currently working on a new album and getting ready to release Pete's autobiography. Here is a sample of what they do. This is Life is Large. That is the Kennedys. They are part of the East Rock Concert Series, February 24th, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. at the M Activity Cafe Bar in New Haven. Moving on, our calendar is coming to a close with just a few more dates to offer. On the 28th of this month, Thursday, 5:30 p.m., we have Literature and Spirituality with Naeem Murr at Miller Hall. He'll be reading from the forthcoming novel, The Sheik of Salt Street. The Sheik of Salt Street recounts the spiritual, political, and sentimental education of Ibrahim Al-Ahad Al-Mara, a Palestinian refugee in Lebanon, Kuwait, and finally, America. And we'll end the hour with some jazz on Friday, 7:30 p.m., March 1st. We have the Rene Rosnes Quartet in Morse Recital Hall in Sprague Memorial Hall. She will be performing sophisticated musical language from her recent albums, Written in the Rocks and Beloved of the Sky. Again, that's March 1st, Friday evening in Sprague Memorial Hall. Thank you so much for joining us here on WPKN 89.5 FM. I'm Bonnie Likes here with engineer co-producer Sean Bigler, and this has been What's Happening New Haven. It's our pleasure to keep you tuned in to just some of the great ideas and beguiling goings-on in the greater New Haven area. We'll be back with you Monday at noon on March 4th. So next up to spend time with you is Rick Petrone with the Jazz Sound.
Field University's Quick Center for the Arts, presenting Sweet Honey in the Rock on Sunday, February 10th at 7 p.m. Founded in 1973, this female a cappella vocal quartet has evolved to become international ambassadors of equality, empowerment, and education through vibrant, versatile, and ever-relevant music. Details and ticket info at fairfield.edu/tickets. Or through the box office at 203-254-4010.
Please join us as we celebrate Black History Month in February by showcasing two important music labels, Stax Records out of Memphis and Motown out of Detroit. Tuesday, February 5th, will be All Stax, All Day. Stax was a major factor in the creation of Southern Soul and Memphis Soul music. They also released and continue to release gospel, funk, and blues recordings. Major artists include Otis Redding, Booker T, Isaac Hayes, the Staple Singers, to name just a few. On Wednesday, February 6th, we turn our attention to Motown. During the 1960s, Motown achieved spectacular success for a small label, 79 records in the top 10. Artists such as Diana Ross and the Supremes, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, The Four Tops, Marvin Gaye, Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, The Marvelettes, Martha Reeves, and so many others. Motown has exerted an enormous influence on both the style and substance of popular music and culture. We'll be raising some money in the process for this quirky but vital nonprofit community radio station from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day. Hope you can join us at 89.5 FM or stream us at WPKN.org.